How will the president spend that money?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. In a few hours, President Obama delivers a speech about helping this economy create jobs. He's expected to announce new spending on infrastructure and weatherizing homes. He's got a little extra money to work with now, with the big banks repaying their bailout money ahead of time, but fiscal conservatives are urging him to save that money. The latest bank to announce its repayment plan is Bank of America. B of A's board meets later today, and Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson tells us board members have lots to talk about.
With less than 4 weeks until Bank of America's CEO Ken Lewis steps down, a bank spokesman says it's a pretty good bet that his successor will be discussed at today's meeting. That successor has yet to be named.
So the bank has had to do a lot of searching both internally and externally, and from the rumors we've been hearing, it hasn't been going at all well.
Jamie Peters is a banking analyst at Morningstar. She says the repayment of the $45 billion TARP loan will help because the bank will be able to offer its new CEO a better salary.
With the repayment of the $45 billion of TARP, they no longer are going to have that extraordinary aid from the government, which means the Pazar will not be sitting at the table when they discuss a pay package with the new CEO.
Still, Peter says the bank's board faces an unenviable task, finding a CEO who can run the nation's largest bank and navigate the corridors of power in the nation's capital. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
As for the corridors of financial power, stock markets are down about 1% in Europe this morning. They were mostly lower in Asia, too. U.S. Fed Chair Ben Bernanke was kind of a downer yesterday with a sober assessment of the recovery. Wall Street prices stayed stuck yesterday. The Dow added a measly point and closed at 10,390. This morning's Wall Street Journal reports U.S. airlines are recovering nicely. Fuller planes, fewer discounted fares, lower fuel prices, and they're charging you for stuff you used to get for free. Today, the aviation industry is in for some scrutiny in Copenhagen, Denmark, on day two of the UN's climate change conference. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is there, joins us live. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Bill.
Stephen, how much does air travel contribute to carbon pollution?
Not much at the moment. Airlines are reckoned to cause only 2 to 3% of global carbon emissions, but they are the fastest growing source of emissions, and some estimates suggest that if nothing is done about that, aviation could account for half of all global emissions by the middle of this century.
And how much pressure is the industry facing in Copenhagen to cut its carbon emissions?
Well, quite a bit, but this is a sensitive issue. Aviation is widely regarded as a major engine of economic development, so developing countries don't want to see their own airlines hobbled with a lot of extra costs. So it is possible that this issue won't be resolved in Copenhagen and it will be put on the back burner.
And if that's true, would that let the airline industry off the hook?
Well, not entirely, no. The industry knows in its bones that one way or another emission curbs are coming, and they'd much prefer to have a global approach, a system run perhaps by the UN body that supervises aviation, so that every airline is operating on the same level playing field. A global cap and trade system, for example. They would like a global level playing field. That's what they'd like to see coming out of Copenhagen.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard, live in Copenhagen, Denmark. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. And by Bank of America, 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low- to moderate-income communities.
Compared to the rest of the developed world, Americans spend a whole lot on health care, almost 2.5 times the average of other rich countries. And it doesn't necessarily make us healthier. That is the conclusion of a report out this morning from a 30-nation group called the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. The head of the OECD's health division is Mark Pearson. Good morning.
Hello.
Why do you conclude there's that disparity in healthcare spending?
Well, if you spend a lot, it's either because your prices are higher or you're doing more or a bit of both. And in fact, in the United States case, it's a bit of both. Sometimes doing more is a good thing. You have probably the best cancer care in the world. Very high rates of screening. People live longer after they've been diagnosed with cancer. But when you get down to things like treatments of asthma, diabetes, hypertension, really the United States system doesn't perform at all well.
And what was new in this morning's report that stood out to you?
Obviously, I think the spending figures are extremely interesting, the fact that the United States is spending so much and is not really getting what you'd hope to get for its health dollar. You would be hoping with that much spending that you could actually see it in the quality of the healthcare system. Apart from cancer, I think that's quite difficult to do. There's a lot of activity going on, but is it actually delivering health? Not according to our figures.
Now, what happens with this report, Mark?
We don't tell countries how to structure their health system, and we're not going to get involved in the healthcare debate in the United States. That's an issue for Americans to decide. What we do think is that countries can learn from each other. If you can see that some country is doing much better than you at some parts of healthcare, it's worth looking at why. Yes, the US system is rather different from other countries, has much more reliance on private expenditure. But even so, when you look at how countries are making best use of information technology, or how best they're linking local doctors and hospitals and nursing homes in order to have an integrated form of care, I think that's something that the United States can learn from other countries.
Mark Pearson is head of the Health Division at the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And finally, what would you have done? Last week, the store manager at a Kmart in Des Moines, Iowa, opened a red tin can that had been sitting on the customer service counter for 4 days and found $10,380 in mysterious cash. Would you have handed the can to police as he did, or would you have called it a tip jar and laundered that cash through Christmas presents? Well done, Kmart manager. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.